From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Kelly Newcomb joins us from Brave Parenting. And if you're listening in New Mexico, you may have caught up with Brave Parenting at the Unshaken Conference as they had a table set up there. And Kelly, we appreciate the time you took to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
I ran into your husband. I didn't have the chance to meet you at the conference, but I thought this is content our listeners really should be up to speed on. And for those not familiar with Brave Parenting, just kind of an overview of what they, what they would find at braveparenting.net.
Yeah, absolutely. So Brave Parenting, our goal is to create and give parents a biblical approach to media and technology. So that can be everything from whether it be the devices of handing over iPads and what kind of parental controls are good and if they even work, but can also be evaluating different movies, apps, video games, and of course, really thinking biblically about social media and how all of these online technologies really change us and change how we disciple our children. And we want to encourage parents to continue disciple and not to outsource to these very convenient technologies. So on our website, we just have a lot of articles that just present a lot of the apps and then gives you the facts, but then also gives you a biblical way to think about this. We all know that Instagram obviously is very picture centered, but then we have to think biblically about what it means when we are posting pictures of ourselves. Does that represent humility and modesty? Are we causing other people to covet? And so we think about that. That way we can create conversations with our kids. And so that's kind of how we approach the content that we're sharing with parents on our website.
And there's actually, for those who haven't been to braveparenting.net, a lot of resources for you at no cost that you can put to use really consider whether the information you find there is something you want to use in your own family. Let's start actually on the homepage at braveparenting.net. There's an article on Are Christians Called to Use Media Differently? I think you and I both know the answer to that. And I don't want to steal all your thunder from the article, but, because folks can go to braveparenting.net and go through it in detail. But really, are we called to use media differently? There's the question. What would you say?
Oh, absolutely. We are called to. I mean, obviously, we're called to be separate, to be holy, which of course means set apart. So if all of the world is spending their life looking down and living in this virtual world, well, then of course, the whole means of discipleship and evangelism means that we can't be always doing that same thing. Technology is a great tool. I mean, we're using technology right now to share our messages that we're helping other Christians in their walk in faith. So it's not necessarily all bad, but we need to keep it in its proper place and make sure that we are not being so impacted by media and technology that it's really encroaching in just our embodied life as believers in this time and space with the people around us. If we are always looking down on our phones, then how can we really love our neighbor and interact and meet people and share the gospel like we should?
Yeah, we've talked about that with some other guests as far as our connection, whether our children's or our connection to media devices, phones, tablets, computers. Actually, in this last year, I forget who it was, what message I was listening to, a couple of things. One, are you addicted? Put your phone down. And every time you think about, you have that knee jerk reaction. It's like, how often is that? And, maybe look at your weekly usage. Most of us get that message from our provider on a weekly basis. And how does it stack up to how often you're in the Word? kind of an easy way to look at it, wouldn't you say?
That's precisely it. I mean, most of us will kind of treat our time in scripture as a checkbox that we did our quiet time. And then we go on throughout the day. But you know, the phone is the first thing most people look at when they wake up in the morning. It's the last thing they look at before they go to bed at night. And that really says something about the posture of our heart in worship. I mean, is this thing in my hand a lie? That's what we want to, you know, refer back to, you know, the prophets. And, you know, you look at this and say, but it's my lifeline. It's how I'm connected. It's my job. It's my tools. It's, you know, how I track my kids. It can be all of those things. But then if you really look at it, is this thing in my right hand a lie? Is it deceiving me to think that it, I need it and that it provides me more than what actual time in scripture, time in prayer can actually do for us?
Okay. And again, I'd encourage the listener, if you haven't been there yet, if you want to follow along with us, you'll find the content we're talking about at braveparenting.net. And we, you know, we mentioned some of the posts that have been put up on various subjects regarding media. And one of the other things I want to make sure that the listener is aware of is a podcast that will be available as well. What do you hope to accomplish through the podcast?
Well, we've been podcasting for about 5 years, and we just review a lot of different mainstream topics that are going on, that maybe like this week we're recording one on the Netflix series Adolescence and how we can biblically think about that Netflix series that seems to have captivated the world right now. But we'll also talk about different research studies that come out, and we just unpack them and think biblically about them. We say, okay, this is the stat, you know, 67% of high school girls are sad and hopeless all the time. Well, that's tragic, right? So how are they supposed to be biblically? Let's look at scripture. Like, how can we come alongside girls? What do they need in order to not be this way? What do parents need to do? And so we just think and unpack them biblically in these podcasts. So they're always rooted in scripture.
Now, whether it's the posts on the website at braveparenting.net or the podcast, there had to be, I'm guessing there was a, did something happen, Kelly? Was there like, I've had enough? Or how were you led to start the website at braveparenting.net?
Right. So I actually adopted 7 children out of foster care, and that all occurred in between 2007 and 2014. When 2015, I had adopted a teenager, and I thought, you know what, this girl who's been in foster care for 15 years, I don't think she really can handle social media and, you know, an unrestricted smartphone. She could contact anybody. And so I didn't give her that, but she was able to access it from friends at school. And she created a Facebook account and was trafficked by a man from across the country. And she ran away. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is crazy what these kids can do. And this was, you know, over about a decade ago. And at the same time, I would hear parents, you know, oh my gosh, my kids are being asked to share nudes and all of this. And I just kept lamenting, like, someone needs to talk about this. Someone needs to do something. Like, the church needs to respond. And so enough people just said, you know, Kelly, that's you. This is what you're called to do. And so we just did it. And everybody kept saying, oh, you're so brave. You know, you're so brave to do this. And that's why we just decided to call it Brave Parenting, because it is hard, and it does take bravery and courage to stand against culture. And that's what scripture exactly calls us to do is, you know, of course we're not called to conform, but if we look around, every parent everywhere is just conforming. My kids need this, or they're not going to have any friends, or they're going to hate me. And so we just keep conforming. And so our goal is to provide parents that to know that there's other people standing alongside of you who want to restrict and delay and limit their kids' access to this until they're older. And so we just all need to band together and bravely, courageously parent so that we're doing so for the glory of God.
Well, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Kelly Newcomb with Brave Parenting, braveparenting.net. Kelly, if you can, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to come back. I'll kind of prepare you, Kelly. What I do want to ask, because, you know, there's plenty of red flags out there when it comes to our families and our children engaging in media. I'd love to hear some success stories, some ways that media was used in a way, through family. that others can really learn from and apply. Can we do that when we come back?
Yeah, it sounds great.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this on ABQ Connect. In the midst of a conversation with Kelly Newcomb with Brave Parenting, braveparenting.net, we've kind of walked through some of the things available there, including podcasts and other things that we'll mention before we finish our time. But before we went to a break, in our first segment, we were talking a little bit about some of the dangers with our family and our youth engaging in media, and just some of the horrific things that can happen if we don't really have our ear to the ground and know what's happening with our kids and how they're engaging media, and to encourage them to engage in it through a biblical worldview lens. Kelly, I'm sure there are positive stories about how families have used media of all kinds to the Lord, where, you know, when you look back at how we used it, well, that was glorifying God. Anything you want to share in that arena?
Well, there's definitely ways that we can use technology that all glorify God. I mean, that just the internet in itself has enabled the gospel to go to places that it had never gone before. The stories that I love that are just so encouraging is when parents are empowered to actually like hold off and say, you know, I'm not going to allow social media until say 16. And it's really hard. And the kids like sort of thrash all against that. But I've interviewed several people on my podcast who are around 18, 19 years old, and they just thank their parents so much. They can look back and say, yeah, it was hard, but it was so worth it. And I have all of these character traits because I wasn't so captivated. My identity wasn't formed through relationships on social media, the likes, the posts, the comments, all of that. It was actually, I had time to develop who I was in Christ. And a lot of them maybe got social media for a little while and then decided, you know what? I liked my life better without it. And those stories come from children who were sort of forced by their parents, you know, that were required to wait until a certain age. It always seems to be that those kids are so thankful. I've had that from my own kids. Of course, they hated the fact that I wanted to delay and limit some of the things, but now I've got 7 adult children who all say, man, I would have been a mess if you would have allowed that. And so now they see that, and then they look around at their friends in their young 20s, and they say all they do is just live on their phones. And so they're then taking the same message forward and trying to enable their peers to live more embodied lives.
Now, you mentioned the struggle that, you know, parents have, not only with media, but, you know, any of those areas. You know, I recall a message Pastor Skip Heitzig gave years ago that was talking about, you know, God's commandments and how, you know, people can be like, oh, he's so restrictive. And, you know, you look at the 10 commandments and you know, even grown people they're not real crazy about being told what they can and can't do. But the truth is the reason it's being done is out of love. I mean, if, the illustration that Pastor Skip used was, you know, if I've got this shed with TNT in it and I put danger explosives, are you going to walk up to him and go, oh, or keep out, right? Are you going to walk up to him and go, oh, that's just mean. That's so unloving. The other thing I wanted to bring up real quick on dealing with having some of these restrictions and explaining to the kids, you know, why, you know, it's not because I'm just wanting to be a meanie, they have a hard time processing why all their friends can and I can't. And I was talking to a couple this week who said, well, if our kids make it to 18 without engaging in social media, they get $1,800. I'm like, wow. And maybe I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea. And maybe not every family can do maybe 180 bucks. You know, I don't know. Any thoughts on rewards for, sticking to, you know, what the, what the parents are asking of the kids?
Well, I mean, I'm not actually opposed to what those parents are doing. I mean, if you can financially, you know, save, give that money as that you're saving as a reward for waiting, the fruits of what they will have gained by not being on social media until age 18 is astronomical. I mean, they are going to gain so much. They are going to know how to have conversations, and that's priceless. I mean, some of those virtues are really priceless. So I'm not opposed to that. And I definitely think that there certainly can be a reward if there is some kind of waiting. And the reality is it's a little inconvenient for parents. And that's what you have to realize. It's a short-term loss on your part because you're going to have to do some extra work to make sure that your kids are in community, communicating. They're not just in their room. You think that they're safe, but they're just, quote, online, you know, with their friends or whatever. You're going to have to do the work of getting them into fellowship with other friends and believers and all that sort of stuff. It's much easier to just let them sit in their room and not have to parent, frankly, but that's just abdicating our role of discipleship. So parents really just have to think, you know, more the long game and have maybe even like an eternal perspective in the sense that this is just short term. It's really painful to have teenagers, especially when they whine and cry every day because they're just not like everybody else. But the long-term benefit that it just far out exceeds that. It's like, yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, that, you know, light and momentary troubles cannot outweigh the weight of glory that's coming. So.
Kelly Newcomb is our guest with Brave Parenting. BraveParenting.net is where we're finding, you know, a lot of the content we're covering today. And actually, before we press on, I want to make sure that we let the listener know, in addition to the podcast, we mentioned the posts you've written books that are available, managing media, creating character, and very variations of that, the book and study guide combo, or the workbook, leader guide, study guide, workbook, and the book, managing media, creating character. Information on that as well at the website at braveparenting.net. Some guides that are available. One of the ones that stood out to me when I clicked there was, you know, I mean, Minecraft, I think it's already in the movie theaters, the Minecraft movie, but the guide to Minecraft. I mean, you're hitting things that are making headlines and are probably going to be in most families' homes, very relevant topics that are found on the website at braveparenting.net. As we walk through this and we talk about the various resources that people have found at braveparenting.net, any stories stand out? Someone who's come back and said, oh my goodness, I wasn't even aware, or, you know, and we did this, and success stories.
You know what? There's been a lot. One specifically, I had a woman come up to me, and she's actually a very famous person's daughter, and I had no idea who she was. And she said, "You're the reason why I don't post pictures of my kids on social media anymore." And I was like, "What? You know, I didn't even know who you are." And it was just amazing. She just had been shared the content, and she felt very convicted that, you know, sharing her kids on social media was not biblical. She didn't have their permission. She was maybe exploiting them. Later in life, they may not like what she had posted. And so she said she completely took down all of those posts. And that was incredible, because that's just the message going out. That's not me trying to convince anybody. And so I love that, because I think that, you know, when one person does that, then they can then inspire so many more. And I think that's a great testimony to have. But my favorite are, I lead a high school group of girls at my church, at my local church, in our youth ministry. And I start with them at freshman. I walk with them all the way to senior year. Last year in 2024, I had a group graduate. And by the time they graduated, over half the group had completely gotten rid of all of their social media that they had when they came in freshman year. They just weren't on Instagram, you know, weren't on TikTok, had gotten rid of Snapchat going into college, because they were like, this is going to bring me down. I am on a solid path with the Lord, and I don't want to be distracted. And I thought that is just such a beautiful testimony of what God can do when you have the power of real, true community who is growing in their relationship with Christ together.
Well, if you just joined us, we've been visiting with Kelly Newcomb, and she is a speaker, a writer, and a brave parent, Kelly. Before we go, speak to the listener about opportunities for having Brave Parenting come and speak at one of their events.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Steve. So we speak at a lot of churches. We even speak at public schools. Really, the message of Brave Parenting, you can provide a biblical backing to this type of brave parenting, but you can also provide a scientific reason. All the studies are there. And so we speak in both the Christian setting as well as the secular setting to help really encourage and help parents see that the deception of convenience that the online world provides is really affecting their discipleship of kids. If we want to raise our kids to know and love the Lord, it's going to require parents to really see it from a different view. They need to see it from a biblical worldview and understand the consequences. It's not just like, oh, it's hard on us. Our kids pay a long-term consequence if we allow too much too soon. So we go in and we love to educate parents on how they can think biblically about that and really motivate them and equip them to limit and delay until the right ages for their family to create a plan for how they're going to handle media and technology in their home. So we would love, we speak all over United States, even if you don't live in the United States, we would probably go there too. And so we just love meeting, interacting with people face to face and helping families in that way.
Well, again, we appreciate your time, and with as relevant as you are with the content that's on braveparenting.net, I'd love to be able to reach out sometime. Right now under the guides, you have Brave Parenting Guide to Minecraft. So when, you know, the next latest greatest comes out that all the kids and others are getting into, can we reach back out and get some insight from you?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time, Kelly.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.